The crimes, the criminals, why did they do it? Who got hurt? Did they meet justice or commit the perfect crime? You'll find all the clues at Jim Harold's Crime Scene. Welcome to The Crime Scene. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again, and we're honored to have our guest to talk about a case that was very much in the news in the D.C. area, and a great person to speak to about it. I'm talking about Dan Morse. He is a Pulitzer Prize finalist who has covered crime for The Washington Post since 2008. Dan reported the story we're going to talk about, the Lululemon story, since its opening hours, and has spoken as an expert on the case for Investigation Discovery and other networks. He has also appeared on CNN, Today, Fox and Friends, and NPR to talk about high-profile murders that he's covered. He earlier worked as a staff writer for The Wall Street Journal and The Baltimore Sun and published freelance articles in Sports Illustrated. Dan Morse, welcome to the program today.
Jim, thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, before we get to the Lululemon case, I just want to ask, what inspired you to become a crime reporter? Because while on one end I would think it would be quite fascinating work, in some ways I could see it being somewhat depressing because you get to kind of see the underbelly of human nature and day after day just seeing, man's inhumanity to man. What made you go in this direction and your thoughts about being a crime reporter?
Well, you know, it sort of goes back to my first newspaper job. It was sort of my only job offer was at a little paper in Alabama covering crime. And I took it just because I wanted to be a reporter. And I immediately liked it. You're absolutely right. You see the worst. You see the most terrible things. But it's just really fascinating when you start talking to all the people. If you take a murder, people really, all the people who are affected by it, from the detectives to the victim's families, and then when it goes through trial, it's a really horrible thing, but there's also a lot of humanity going on around it, and so it does give you a chance to write about people, and people sort of shocked with the worst things, and, yeah, it can be really dark and bad, but you also can see the good in people, a lot more often than you'd think.
Now, this particular case, 2011, two young saleswomen found brutally attacked inside this Lululemon Athletica retail store in Bethesda, Maryland, and I think it's really important here to point out to folks around the country, and in fact, we have listeners from around the world. Bethesda, Maryland, particularly this section where this happened, what are kind of the socioeconomic status of folks are there? What kind of, paint a picture of the kind of place that it is.
Sure. This is just a really, really nice place. It's just a couple of miles north of Washington, D.C. It's one of the most educated communities in the country. It's one of the wealthiest communities in the country. And, it's Bethesda. And in the core of Bethesda is this really sort of Tony restaurant district. There's a lot of little shops. And the thing was carefully developed 10, 15 years ago as a place that people could drive to and then they get out and they walk around, and it's made to look, there's even this man-made like cobblestone little alleyway. It's, it's really made to evoke this area that you can walk around in. You can go in and out of shops, in and out of restaurants. It's impeccably safe. I like to say that it's so close to Washington, D.C., and with the educated community around it that, you're more apt to run into someone that you saw on Meet the Press than anyone out to harm you. I mean, that's just sort of the thinking there, and that's how it is. So it's just this really nice place. It's really educated. There's really nice stores there, and of course one of the main stores in this central core is this yoga store that's part of a chain, and that's called Lululemon.
So March 12th, 2011. Tell us what was found at that particular location, because given the geography of it, as you said, in an impeccably safe area, high income, someplace where you can feel carefree and go about and spend your thousands of dollars, use your American Express Black Card. A stunning discovery was made, wasn't it?
Sure. Saturday morning, March 12th, 2011, this is sort of like, you know, the ultimate kind of Bethesda day, right? So this is, there's a big Apple store there. They had just launched the iPad 2 the night before. And as Apple does, you know, they get big lines outside their store. So that morning, there's this line queuing up outside the Apple store. Everything seems, you know, like a Bethesda morning. Shoppers are coming out. They're walking down the streets. They got their dogs. And next to the Apple store is this other store, this store called Lululemon that sells yoga clothes. And the manager, shortly after 8 a.m., she walks up and is going to go into her store and open it up for the day. So everything's normal right up until that point. This manager of the store, her name is Rachel Ortley, she goes into the store and she immediately, as she's walking into the store, she sees that it's been kind of roughed up. There's merchandise on the ground. And, mm-hmm. She immediately thinks, this is bad. This could be a burglary. There might even be someone in the store. So she comes rushing out and she calls 911. Now it starts getting real interesting real fast. There's a guy in line to buy his iPad, a guy named Ryan Howe. And he looks up and sees this, manager in distress, and very sort of nicely and very bravely, he walks up and says, would you like me to go in that store? I mean, what's wrong? And, kind of a brave thing. And she says, sure. So Ryan goes in there, talk to him. He's in the book. He's a really interesting guy. He's got a Philadelphia Phillies hat on backwards. I always thought that was interesting because the guy wanted to get to Apple so quickly he didn't even take a shower. as we like to do, he just threw his hat on and rushed over to Bethesda. And he goes into, the back of the store, and he sees this just, it's sort of no cliche that's too strong. I mean, it's like a horror movie back there, because he makes his way to a back hallway, and there's literally blood spatter on the walls, and there's this poor dead woman in a pool of blood. And, Ryan sees it. And that's bad enough, right? And then he's walking back out the store, and he suddenly sees something to his right, and he realizes that there's a bathroom there, and there's a light on in the bathroom. And then he looks down, and there's another body on the ground. This all develops in front of this guy within like 20 seconds. And he goes over to this other body, and he hears this sort of slight moaning. And he realizes that this woman, she's got blood all around her. Her pants are all torn up, and she's tied up. And he realizes she may be alive. And so now he comes out of the store, and Rachel, she's been on the phone, so the police are there, lickety-split, and they go into the store. Actually, the first officer, she had her gun drawn, because there's a thought that maybe whoever did this is still in the store. What you have is this, tranquil, typical, even more than typical Bethesda morning. Everyone's lined up to get their little latest Apple gizmo that, within a minute or two has just turned into, a scene of like total mayhem and, violence inside this place. And so that's sort of how the story begins that morning. And then the detectives show up. There's two big characters in the book, a guy named Jim Drury, an older detective, a guy half his age named Dimitri Rubin. Those guys show up now, and that's when the investigation starts.
Now, tell us a little bit about Jaina, the victim, and Brittany. What kind of people were they, or Brittany still is? But tell us a little bit about them.
So they're both, at this time, Jaina is 30 and Brittany is 28. And they're both athletic, attractive, outgoing, smart. They're in many ways, you know, what you would see when you go into a Lululemon store. This is a chain around the country in Canada. I didn't know about it until this story, but, you know, they're very effervescent, outgoing. They've got goals beyond working at a store. Just the kind of people Lululemon wants in their store. And Jaina was just a really cool person. You know, that's sort of the adjective I came up with after talking to a lot of her friends and her family. I mean, yeah, she's nice, real smart. She, at the time, she's a supervisor at the store, but she's on her way of getting an MBA. You know, she's 30 years old. She's 2 months from getting her MBA, and she's about to start like this big new chapter in her life. You know, she's a real go-getter and comes from a really interesting family in Houston. And she's the, she's the worker who was found dead back there. You know, like I said, a real athletic person, just a real nice person. Now, Brittany, you know, at least on the surface, has a lot of similarities. She's got a lot of good friends. She, you know, is nice to her friends. She sort of encourages them. Washington can be a tough place. You know, it's a lot of ambitious people, and Brittany's always the one in her group who's congratulating her friends for a promotion, getting them together for happy hours. She comes from a really, you know, impressive, nice family in the Seattle area. 8 brothers and sisters. Dad is just, you know, everyone I talked to, just kind of a great guy who runs an upholstery shop in sort of a gritty area. So, you know, she didn't come from a whole lot, you know, just, again, sort of an outgoing, smart person. She was a big soccer star in college. So, you know, two really interesting people at the heart of this story.
The investigators, I'm sure they were shocked, you know, in this area, this kind of Tony retail area, to find this. What were their thoughts initially in terms of what happened? Who were the perpetrators? Those kind of things.
Yeah, they were stunned at the nature of this violence. You know, that blood spatter on the walls around Jaina. You know, you might see that in a movie and stuff, but just, it's not, it doesn't always happen in homicides. And, you know, it was clear to me from the onset that this was going to be a big deal for them, this case, just that someone had done such a thing to two women. I mean, they kind of took it personally and went after it. And their story... So they start off looking for two crazy guys, and they get this because Brittany, who's the worker who was found in the bathroom, she's taken to the hospital, and within a couple hours, she's talking to one of the detectives, and she just tells this horrible, horrible story. You know, she's crying. She comes across as very believable. And what she says is Jaina and herself were in the store about to leave. They had closed it, and these two guys slipped into the store, and they're dressed head to toe in black clothing, including ski masks, and they're there to rob the place. But something went wrong, you know, and suddenly they started attacking these two. It's just this nightmare of a story. They drag Jaina off into the back, and Brittany, you know, can hear this horrible murder going down, and then they attack Brittany as well and rape her, and also the evidence suggested that they had raped Jaina as well. So that was what they were going with right off the bat, and that's a very alarming story about, you know, random horrible murders. I mean, you know, the fact is that most murders happen, certainly in the county that I cover, you know, between people who know each other.
Right.
This sort of random madman violence is not that common. And they reacted, you know, they were going to go find these guys.
And what were their thoughts about Brittany initially?
Well, the detective who talked to her in the hospital felt immediate compassion and immediate, you know, empathy for her that, you know, my goodness, she had seen this horrible thing and had been through this horrible thing herself. So that detective brings a report. I think this is the opening hours of the case. And the crime scene is the store. And that's also sort of the gathering place for all these detectives. They're working inside the store. You know, where I can remember, you know, I'm the reporter out on the sidewalk. You know, I don't know. It turns out I don't know what's going on, right? I'm just waiting for them to come out and talk to me. But so they're inside trying to figure the whole thing out. And they get this report from the hospital of what Brittany's saying. And, you know, there's a couple of detectives in there that are kind of skeptical of her story, you know, which puts them in a really bad situation, right? You know, you've got someone who is, you know, you've got to treat as a rape victim who saw this horrible crime, and yet they can't stop themselves from saying, hey, what she's saying at the hospital and what we're looking at here, some of this stuff's not adding up. And so there's now you get among the detectives, and I just thought this was really interesting. I mean, everyone's trying to do the right thing, but, you know, there's debate in there of like, well, what, you know, what do we do here? You know, we're not quite sure about her story. And then some things happen, you know, the things are moving pretty quickly. And they look at some video that was taken from behind the store. They got that from a business next door. And they're looking at this video from the night before, and they see two guys walking right by, dressed head to toe in black clothing, and they even think they see a shadow of the back door of the yoga store opening. And they're like, well, you know, even the doubters of Brittany's story were like, oh, my God, you know, she really is. What she's saying really happened. And so that got them going, you know, now they're even going, now all of them are sort of on board looking for the crazy man. And it's really high stakes for them because, you know, this is a nice place. A lot of important people live around Bethesda. You know, if this story is true, if there are crazy people on the loose who would do something like this, they're the kind of people who might do it again. So, you know, it's just super high pressure stuff for these guys.
Well, now see, this is interesting because I have to think about the political aspect of this. I recall when I was in college, somebody did a study, and probably more than one, just one I remember, that if an American life was taken in the context of world politics, it had a value like something 1 to 20 for third world lives. You know, in other words, we'd pay about as much attention to one American being killed as we would, you know, 20 or 30 people from the third world just because of the inequality and so forth. I think on a micro level, that kind of thing holds true in America's cities. There's certainly some very scary areas in Washington, D.C., and I got to believe that more attention was paid to this murder because where it happened, and greater care was probably taken in who was accused and who wasn't accused because of the people and the type of people involved. Is that a fair statement? Your thoughts on that?
I think that is a fair statement, and I do talk about that in the book, and it's something that the detectives themselves will grouse about, and, you know, you can hear them growling about this very thing. Whereas their thing is like, look, we take every murder seriously, but, you know, society and the media will jump on certain cases. And, you know, I think that happened here. I mean, this is a really nice area. This is an area that people pay attention to. And certainly there's that. There's also news value in the fact that, you know, this is a murder that happened in a place where murders don't happen. So it's unusual. So that's
dog bites man.
Yeah, that brings.
I mean, man bites dog. That. Excuse me.
Sure, but I do think there is something that happens which isn't fair and it's not right, and it is the following that, you know, these two women were clearly, you know, as we, you know, first we learn Jaina's name, You know, we didn't know Brittany's name at first because she was, you know, thought to be a rape victim. So, you know, obviously they kept her name from us. But, you know, Jaina, it was clear that as soon as we got her name and as soon as we did a Google search, I mean, she is super successful. She's getting an MBA. She's never been in trouble. She's, you know, on her way to college. You know, you can find out she's from a great family. And, and where she was killed, you know, there's an assumption made that she's a completely innocent victim. And she was, you know, absolutely the case. She didn't do anything to bring this on. But, you know, what happens is when someone dies, when someone gets killed in a really bad area, where an area that, you know, everyone knows that, okay, drugs are sold, you know, in and around that area, you know, there can be an assumption made that, you know, that person was in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, that they were somehow, you know, doing something that got them killed. And, you know, it's not fair. It shouldn't, you know, all victims are tragic, but, you know, that's how it plays out, in society and, you know, and in the media that, you know, completely innocent victims, get a lot more attention.
I'm not going to give away the entire storyline here because we certainly want people to pick up the book. But I think from our conversation thus far, it's obvious that Brittany Norwood had a lot more to do with this than first met the eye. Do you think it's a case where this is an individual who just snapped? You know, there's kind of like, whatever slights, perceived slights, injustices of life. Maybe you mentioned that she was a person always congratulating her friends, always kind of always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Do you think this is just a case where something rubbed her the wrong way and she just absolutely snapped, that she was just a powder keg waiting to go off and Jaina Murray, unfortunately, just happened to be the person in her path?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't want to give away too much either, but you know, I do think it's clear from anyone reading the book that, you know, as you start reading the book, there's something going on with Brittany. You know, I think we can we can all establish that in this call right now. You know, I'll say it this way, that for the detectives to start thinking that Brittany did this, they had to get through the very questions you're asking, you know, like, oh my goodness, how, you know, they're detectives. They don't say, oh my goodness. They'll use other language.
Unless they're exceptionally prissy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, some of these guys, they just, I joked that, the way the rest of us might pause to collect our thoughts, you know, during that dead space, they have to uncork the F-bomb just because, you know, they don't want silence. There's got to be an
right.
F-bomb. But, you know, they have to get through their brains like, okay, you know, as we're starting to think that maybe she had something to do with this, well, how could that be? Because now they're starting to get the results of the autopsy. They know from a bunch of different things that the attack of Jaina happened for at least 10 minutes, you know, maybe as long as 20 minutes. They learned that she had been stabbed, slashed, beaten with like as many as 8 different weapons, you know, 331 times. I mean, there's just this stunning silence that sort of colors everything in this case. And so now they sort of know how the murder happened, and they're trying to overlap. Well, how, you know, how could Brittany be involved in this? And, you know, ultimately there would be two schools of thought in that. One is the stuff you're just talking about, that Brittany snapped, that she got enraged and she, you know, and she just, yeah, she was a powder keg. And this was complete rage and complete overkill, and she was going nuts. There's a whole other way to look at it, which is much more scary. And that is that, you know, a rage, a crazed killing, you know, it's kind of hard to think of that happening for 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And, you know, something that makes more sense, at least to me, is that it was the opposite of rage, and it was the opposite of passion, and it was dispassionate, and it was, it was just someone determined to do this. And you have to go back and you know, it's one of the things that makes this case so unique is you got to realize where this takes place. The killer did not have a weapon. The killer has to go get what is available inside a yoga store. And there's not a lot of weapons. You know, there's a hammer, but it's a little hammer. And there's some knives, but they're little knives. And so the instruments to do this were not ideal. And so it just took a long time to happen. And I think it was done by someone who was very determined to make it happen. And I think, you know, the word to think about is determination, you know, and not rage. And like I said, I think that's, an even scarier concept. I think there are a lot of murders that take place because of rage. And the rest of us maybe can relate to that. You know, if, maybe we know we would never kill someone, but, on some level we can think, if someone hurt my child, I could go into a rage and something real bad could happen. But we can't get our brain around, killing someone because, it's just sort of like a logical decision to make. You know, that's something we just can't really relate to as humans. It's like we're talking about a different member of our, a different species. And, that's what makes sort of these cases so fascinating, I think.
Well, folks, we'll have to pick up the yoga store murder, the shocking true account of the Lululemon Athletica killing, to find out what happened to the case, to Brittany Norwood, and certainly it's a fascinating discussion. I do have one more question, Dan.
Sure.
How, if in any way, has the neighborhood changed? Have people's perceptions changed? Is it just business as usual, or do you think it's made some kind of mark?
I think it's kind of business as usual. And I think that's just complete human nature. This case had that neighborhood on edge. The idea of complete random mayhem, murder, everyone's nightmare. People were staying inside. People were locking their doors. They weren't coming down to Bethesda. When cops solved the case and locked someone up, and I went down there and reported, okay, what's the mood of Bethesda? I had more than one merchant business owner, literally snap his or her finger and say, this is it's back to normal. We know that it's safe here. I do think when people pass that store, they think about what happened. They think about Jaina. People learned a lot. There was a lot of coverage of this. And so there is that, there is.
Right.
Sort of her legacy and her sadness. But the whole idea that this has become not a safe place, that just went away. And Bethesda sort of back to being Bethesda on that score.
I guess the truth is, if the wrong person has it out for you, no place is safe.
I think that's a really good way to put it. Again, it's really scary,
It is scary, but we're so glad we had you to navigate us through this story. And I know that the yoga store murder, the shocking true account of the Lululemon Athletica killing, available wherever fine books are sold.
It is, yeah. It's we're out in Barnes and Noble, and we're on all the, all the online places you can buy books as well.
So. And any place online you'd like to direct people if they'd like to follow your work in general?
Well, I think certainly if you want to follow my work at the Washington Post, I think a Google of Dan Morrison Washington Post gets my little Washington page up there, which. As my stories, and I'm back to writing at the Post. An interesting story today about a a guy who took his gun to school and got in a little trouble for that. So.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll have to see how that follows through. But Dan Morse, thank you for taking time out of a busy day to talk to us about this book. Thank you again.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thanks again for having me on.
And thank you for tuning in to The Crime Scene. And as evidenced by our discussion today, as we always close out, be safe out there. Bye-bye, everybody.